there. Hi, and welcome back to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity, self-love, growing through your breakup and marrying yourself. My name is Danette Relic. I am a coach. I am an author. I am an artist. I am that friend who has encouraged you to keep your potato chips in the freezer. Yes, in the winter. No, they don't freeze up and like, it's just delightful. It's subtle. Trust me. Just try it. I contain multitudes, as do you. Let's learn about them. Let's find out what more there is to love about you. Special thanks to the magical assistance of tech witch Allison Tarr and the music you are hearing of Lee Rosefair. The Soft Shoulder is brought to you by my book, Crash Bloom, a creative guide for growing through your breakup, available wherever you enjoy buying books. Well, sweet listener, I have started this podcast, like this episode, several times. It is, I'm recording this in the morning of the shortest day of the year here where I live. It's the winter solstice. And I've got a lot of little thoughts buzzing through my mind. And I knew I wanted to come and talk to you. And I'm just going to be transparent about the fact that usually I have like one idea. As you know, this is an unscripted solo podcast. Has been for many years now. But usually there's some kind of coherent idea. We'll see. Whatever the title was is what this is ends up being about. So there's a few things I was thinking about. I had this memory of myself at like an elementary school age. I'm going to say between 8 and 10 years old. So imagine yourself at this age. It's hot. You're on the playground, you're on like a recess at school, you've got your group of friends, that's in quotes because this story is involving like friendship bullying behavior, and you are afraid of bees. You don't know why. Actually, no, we do know why, because we read a book. It wasn't my girl. My girl was after this time, but I did read a book about a kid who died or was like allergic to bee stings. I think that probably planted the seed. Anyways, so this little child that you are, hot, afraid of bees, and your friends, because of your friends and you trust them, they tell you that there's a bee behind you. So concerned they are, right? So concerned, so helpful. And so you start to run and you're looking to them for like help, like, is it gone? Is it gone? And they're like, no, it's right there. It's right there behind you. It's right there behind you. And they start freaking out and half of them are laughing. And so you can't tell if you're in danger of there being a bee very close to you. You can't tell if your friends are laughing because there isn't one and you are being punked. Or you can't tell if they're laughing just that there is one and that you're afraid and they find this funny. Either way, it's an unpleasant experience. It is sandy. There's gravel. You're running. You're exhausted. You don't like running. You've never liked running. And now there's a group of people watching you run in fear. Not the best day on the playground. Anyways, it took decades afterwards for me to like eventually come to the place where I am now, where I can like calmly, you know, breathe in and out and be around insects that have like a yellow jacket, you know, and even like, yeah, just it took a long time. This moment was truly terrible. But that's not the point. I was thinking about how I was running. I was thinking about, again, this another 80s reference. So is it The Family Circus, that comic book that was out about the family? And one kid, I think it was Billy, there would be some comic where, I'm sure I've referenced this before, but his mom sends him to the store to run an errand and he just takes the longest way possible. So the whole comic is a drawing of like a map of the city and you just see how Billy went, oh, I want to climb a tree. I want to go down this slide. I want to pet this dog. I want to go over here. And like they have like little dashes of like where his route was. And it's just all over the place. not efficient. And that was pretty much like my trail. If you had drawn a picture of like where I was running when I was running away from this bee, it would be very much like that. And And I was thinking about, you know, when we are running away from something, if we don't know where we're headed, if we don't have something that we're also running towards, sometimes we can get lost, but also exhausted, you know, and not end up anywhere. Like, we're so focused on what we're running from, what we're trying to avoid, that we don't really think very consciously about where we can go to and what's the most direct route. And, you know, I like a scenic route. So it's not even so much about this black or white thinking of like, Billy should have gone straight to the store. Like, you know, Billy had a great time. I was not having a great time running from the bee. And there's other times in my life where I also wasn't having a great time running from things that I was avoiding. Right? Because like little Danette on the playground here was running and very uncomfortable and very tired for about probably max 10, 15 minutes, however long that recess period was. And then the bell rang and I don't know what happened, but we all ended up inside. But I mean, as an adult, you could spend 10, 15 years running from something that you don't want, running from something that you're afraid of or uncomfortable about. Even something that you, like me at the time, the bee, if there was a bee, may or may not have stung me. Like, and if it did, I probably would have been fine. So it wasn't the perceived danger that my little brain was making it out to be. And we can still do that as adults. Like, the things that we're afraid of and that we run from might be things that we can actually handle or things that won't even happen, you know? We could be running from a committed relationship, a partnership with someone that we love and can grow with because we're afraid of getting hurt, for example. We're afraid of it breaking up. So we just run from it entirely in more subtle ways than a young girl flailing her arms around on a playground. But it can kind of feel like that, you know, when we look back. So that's one of the things that I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about, and it's not always, I feel like I have to always have these disclaimers, more for my own self. It's not always black and white. Away from is sometimes an excellent motivator. You don't always have to have the answer of where you're going. Motion is helpful. There's all these, you know, ways in which this analogy can be used for all of the points. But I was just thinking about how, like, maybe a default can be to move away from. And it would be interesting just to even know if we know what we're running towards, right? Like, if I had gone back in time and said, Danette, what are you running from? She would say the bee. And if I said, what are you running towards? She wouldn't even know. She wouldn't even know that she didn't know that answer. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we could be like, oh, I'm afraid of commitment. You know, so, you know, this is a common thing people might say. I'm running from commitment. It's scary. What are you running towards? You may or may not have the answer. And that's great. It doesn't matter if you have it or not. I think it's helpful to know if you have it or not, because you might be caught off guard being like, oh, damn, I never thought about it that way. What am I running towards? What does my future look like if I'm running from commitment all the time? It could be a great future, but have you ever even tried to articulate that? What does that look like? What does growing up, growing old look like? What does your community and friendships, what does that look like? Are you actually running away from commitment, or are you moving towards a new way of doing relationships? I'm sure you can hear how empowering that is to have the answer and then to go on with your life. Instead of saying, oh, I'm afraid of commitment, you'd be like, no, I'm exploring this. There's something in me that wants to explore relationships in a new way. And this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm creating. This is what I'm moving towards. Big difference, right? I feel like this is the difference of another thing I've been thinking about is what it means to be all in. and why that's so appealing. So I guess this episode might be a little bit about commitment. You know, I it still baffles me when I watch like things like, as you may or may not know, I enjoy a trashy reality dating show, or sorry, unscripted dating show. And, there's a few that are involving marriage, right? Love is Blind is like about the proposal, right? The ultimatum is like, we're getting married or we're breaking up. Like, and these are young people. And I, one of the things I think about is like, wow, I'm so fascinated that young people in this day and age, in this society, want to get married. Like, I'm just genuinely curious about that. And I listen for what it is. Of course, it's different for everyone. But there's often this idea of just wanting to be all in with someone, wanting to know that someone's all in with you, wanting to create a life and have a partner that you can count on. If you think of marriage as any other adventure, you know, like climbing a mountain or, I don't know, going on the Amazing Race. Weird examples. I'm not doing either of these things in my life. But if you had a partner who wasn't all in a business, okay, running a business with someone, if you had a partner who wasn't all in on the goal here, that changes things quite drastically. There's something so exciting about knowing that you are creating something, that you're going to go on this adventure with someone, and that the two of you are all in on the partnership and on the goal, right? Will weird things happen on the mountain? Likely. Will unexpected curveballs be thrown at you at the business? Like, yeah, probably. And so then it's like, what does all in mean? Does it mean we're going to face these things together? We're going to look towards a solution. We're going to make sure that we have legal documents protecting both of us. Like, what does that look like? How can we feel secure to go all in? Because, and here's what I think is a reason why people are still desiring marriage. It's the idea of what would happen if these two people were all in? What could they create? Like, if you imagine a dream business and you have a business partner who's just as into it as you are. This is everything to you. It's a dream. You want to make it happen. You're willing to do whatever it takes. And you have a partner who feels the same way. Then it's so exciting, isn't it? Any kind of creative endeavor. It's like, oh my God, together we're stronger. Together we can see more. Together we will support each other. You know, we don't have to do it alone. And, we've got different gifts that we're bringing in. We've got different talents that we're bringing in. The brainstorming sessions, I'm excited and I don't even know who I'm talking about. I'll buy one. I don't know what it is. But it's so exciting because then you can dream bigger and think bigger and have some hope and some faith that maybe you could achieve these dreams, right? That's the difference. If you're with someone who, imagine starting a business with someone and they're like, yeah, totally love starting businesses. And, you know, hey, I'm open. If the business, you know, happens to be great, then cool. I'll be a business owner. But, you know, right now, I just don't really feel like it. Like, that's how a lot of people are approaching dating. And that's fair. And, like, you know how it feels on the other side if you are someone who wants the commitment. Right? If you are someone who wants to see this dream through, then you need to listen to what these potential partners are saying in business and romance, right? It's a very different feeling. And then you could be someone who's thinks that you want a commitment. And then you have someone coming along who's a little more all in than you are. And I don't mean in any unhealthy or twisted ways, but they're just very confident. They're like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. I want this. This is what's happening. If you have any doubts, they might pop up and be like, what? Like, you weren't expecting the strength of someone who's all in. It can be kind of exciting and it can be a little bit like, Ooh, like little butterflies. It could bring up lots of fear and nervousness, that's for sure, in anything. If you're not quite matching that, it'll illuminate where you're quivering around this idea that you thought you were all in on. It's kind of beautiful, actually, because then you can check back in, right? Then you can check back in and, what is that? What is that little flutter? Why wasn't I expecting this person to have my back? What would happen if I did let them have my back? What would happen if we were all in, right? And so, you know, when I think of marrying myself, I didn't use these words at the time, but I've been reflecting on it. Well, I've been reflecting on my marriage to myself for well over 20 years. And I've been reflecting on it quite a lot this year, as I am redesigning the Art of Self-Marriage to be a one-on-one offer. And I've been all over the place with with how I'm offering the Art of Self-Marriage. And we did run a group year-long program, the Art of Self-Marriage, with a small group. And for lots of reasons, last spring, I came to the realization that at least for now, I always have, you know, I contain multitudes, I can change my mind. But I've been like just reading more about it, thinking more about it, thinking about how I feel in groups. And also there was just my bandwidth around what it's like to lead a group and what it's like to be leading one-on-one. They're just different. There's not a better, there's benefits to both. And then of course, my father passed away. I never usually say father, my dad. My dad passed away, and that shifted a lot of too, of as I've been grief tending, my capacity and how intimate I've been getting with myself once again through grief, right? In my book Crash Bloom, there's a lot of I don't know if I name it grief exactly, but there's a lot in there that has actually been helpful now, because when we lose something, it brings us into a kind of intimacy with ourselves that maybe we weren't expecting, or that we don't really, frankly, we just don't need to be in day to day, right? It just really brings things to the forefront. I've been finding that work actually helpful. My own breakup book, I've been finding helpful as I grieve my dad. And I think that's why, you know, these two things that I've been creating for years, I've been writing Crash Bloom for a long time, and I've been working with and around self-marriage for probably just as long, and trying to find these ways. I feel very strongly that these are these gifts that I'm here to give. At some points, there was like some confusion, you know, as I was trying to navigate business and marketing and, you know, kind of getting swayed by advice to have one offering or to have one focus, you know. A lot, too many voices in my head, and leaving social media, or at least not engaging on social media, has been so helpful for me personally in helping me get my mind back and clear my thoughts and listen to my heart. But, you know, as I've whittled out a lot of things, I realize how beautifully paired these two are. Not for the reasons why people might think, like, oh yeah, you get dumped and then you marry yourself like a consolation prize. That's a very cynical way to put it. The reason why I think they pair so well together is that in my life anyway, and for what I've seen, like when you go through a breakup, you really face yourself. You face grief, you face loss, you face too, like your desires. And if there's any sort of things that had gone a little stale or had been repressed in this relationship, you start to reclaim yourself, right? There's this reinvention time. It can be very energizing and exciting, but I think it's not a consolation prize. My gosh, absolutely not, to marry yourself. It's that sometimes all the things that a breakup brings can be illuminating how incredible it is to marry yourself, right? It's not a consolation prize in the slightest. It's one of the most beautiful, powerful things I've done. And, you know, and I think circling back, that's being all in. That's what it means to me. I don't think that everyone needs to or should marry themselves. I'm not prescribing this for all of humanity, okay? I might get excited sometimes and say we, but I don't know what's good for everyone. I can tell you that for me and for a lot of people that I have witnessed and known, there's a difference when it comes to this idea of being all in. There's something very powerful about doing this consciously and not as a like, oh yeah, I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be like these constant kind of random reminders. It really feels like the difference between casually dating myself, like I did with that Family Circus cartoon, and being all in. Like there's a reason why I chose marriage. It's like this is something that, yes, all statistics aside, people enter hoping and with the intention of being the kind of marriage that does honor its vows for a lifetime, forever after, right? We're all in. We're going to do life together. Who on earth can you really make that promise to better than yourself? Like you, I have been surprised. I have been heartbroken. I have thought things were going one way and they didn't. That could be even through death, right? We don't have control completely. And I have to be honest about this. But as long as I'm around, I'm here. And as long as I'm living, like it's literally death do I part. I'm locked in whether I want to or not. So I'm locked in anyway. Why would I engage in a relationship that's like, yeah, you know, like it's cool. I want to just have some fun. And hey, if it turns out, it turns out. Like, why would I do that to myself in this one life that I'm living? And so for me, this matters. For me, this is surprisingly powerful to do. I imagine it's not just to just the love part, right? Because I know a lot of you have that quite like, well, how do you just love yourself? Like, what does it even mean? This is a relationship. Self-marriage also has helped me separate this concept, this abstract, beautiful concept of self-love with the relationship and the commitment. Those are our different things. As I'm sure you've experienced in life, like loving someone that you didn't end up marrying, currently loving someone that you're not going to marry, marrying someone that you don't really love. These things happen, right? These are different things. So when I'm looking at like, you know, when I married myself in my youth, back in the day, it was like, I knew that I needed that container for the commitment. I knew that the idea of love was too whimsical and abstract and clearly like not really working, something I was easily forgetting. One of the ways I could tell I was forgetting to love myself, one of the ways that I could tell that I was running from the bee and not really having any direction was the choices I was making, right? It was not being all in with my dreams. It was not being all in with my well-being, with my emotional health, with my own heart. It was being outwards, right? Very easily brought outwards and focused on other people, focused on what I'm supposed to be doing or supposed to be liking, things that I don't want and trying to skirt around those things. Like not really all in with me. The all in with you is the thing that you'd be running towards, right? So when earlier I mentioned you were like, you know, if someone's afraid of commitment and they're not, or afraid of monogamy, they're not settling down, quote unquote. The what are you running towards question, what are you creating question, that's the all in, right? If you are all in with who you are and you want to learn how to love in this lifetime in a way that's authentic and real for you. And you know, especially if you're going a little bit off the beaten path here in terms of culture, right? If you're doing something that, you know, all of your aunts and uncles don't understand, right? It takes courage to be all in. You need to be all in because life is going to want to sweep you into these normative paths, right? You need to be all in to dare to love differently and live differently. And sometimes you even need that to do traditional things, but to know that you're doing those traditional things because you really want it, because it really feels aligned and right and brave with you, not because it's what you're supposed to do, right? There isn't like, you know, I'm taking these two paths of say, I guess what I'm talking about is like monogamy or non-monogamy or things like that. But there's so much in between, and that's just one aspect, right? What's being expected, what's not expected, one is not better than the other. The important thing for me, and what I'd love to remind you is that it's important of like, what's in your heart? What do you truly want? Versus what have you been conditioned to want or conditioned to think is braver or better? What are you actually running from and what are you running towards? When you can name what you're all in for, and even if you're not quite sure, like, because there's so much. I'm in a marriage with myself. It's been 20-something years. I think, I know my 25th is not this year, but I think I'm a year and a half away. I don't know what I'm planning for that, but that's going to be exciting. There's all kinds of categories. When you're married to somebody, there's the day-to-day. There's the dreams. There's all different aspects of family, community, connection, spirituality. There's like whatever it is that you want, right? Relationships we have are the ones that we create. So like, you know, with grief even, here's something. So my dad dies in June. There's been a lot of things to grieve over the last 7 years in my life. So this big grief has also like pulled and rallied with these other ghosts of grief and like or have been swirling around at a level of intensity I've never experienced before. For me, in my marriage to myself and being all in with myself, I'm being all in on this grief. I am not trying to be good at it. I'm not trying to get past it. I don't know what to expect because I've never experienced this quite in this way. I'll never experience a loss exactly like that one. And so when I'm all in, and it's been kind of wild. I've been learning a lot about myself. I've been learning a lot about grief. I'm still learning. This is, in my opinion, still quite new. And in other people's opinion, probably just, oh yeah, you should be getting it over soon, right? There's that whole idea of a timeline. It's changing how I'm seeing like my whole life and the world and everyone in it. So it's, I don't think it's a little thing. I'm able to see this, and I'll be honest, sometimes that scares me what I have learned. Sometimes I'm, you know, quite terrified of things that I've been seeing. But what's different is, and I'm just seeing this now actually, unlike me running from the bee as a child, I am now a grown human who's been married to herself for over 20 years. Certainly the things I'm looking at right now are a lot scarier than a bee on a playground. And I'm not running. If this was a movie, the grown-up version of this girl would be back on that playground and just turn around and look right into the camera being the bee or the fear or whatever, and just changing the game, right? I used to run. I didn't even know what I was running from. Now I'm turning around. I'm still here. I'm still in the sun, but I'm not exhausting myself by running from it. I am facing it. This is me being all in with myself. I know this doesn't sound sexy, but this is what I'm learning in this moment. This is where I am in my marriage. Other times it has been very sexy. other times it was about dating, about finding partners, about my own sexuality, about creativity, about being seen, being visible, about this podcast, about having just getting on a microphone and starting a podcast. Like, all of these things at one point have been things that in my marriage to myself, I was like, if I'm all in, then I will do this. I said I was all in. And so I'm going to do this scary thing for you, Danette, you know? And I'm wondering about what it would mean for you if you were all in. If you just tried on those words in a prompt, a journal prompt, you might feel like, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing all the good things or whatever. I'm happy. I'm happy in these categories. Okay. But honestly, sit down with your journal or, you know, or a sound journal, like recording or whatever. And just see, is there one area of your life where you know you're not quite all in? Or if I was really all in, there's your prompt. If I was really all in, I would. I might. I think we have these answers. You know, every time I've sat down with like a guided journal prompt, I'm amazed at how the answers are just there. When you do like future self writing, that's amazing too. And it's surprising. I led that week, Hello Future Me. We journaled to our future selves and from our future selves every day for 5 days. And it was amazing. It was amazing by the end of it. It's so shocking that you just can, like, if you put the timer on and you don't let your brain get in the way, it can be quite lovely to be like, oh, the answers was just there. The answer just kind of came out. You know already, you know a lot more than you think you do sometimes, you know? I read recently some exciting news about my city. So there's a baseball player, Ayami Sato. She's the first woman player on a men's professional baseball team, pro team in Canada. She'll be playing for Toronto. And I was like, wow, this is so cool and so exciting. And, you know, I think I skimmed a bunch of articles, but I remember the thing that stood out was, you know, when asked, like, you know, her first impressions of Canada and Canadians and, you know, she hadn't really been anywhere exactly yet. But she said, my motto is keep calm and be passionate. I imagine Canadians are like this. And that was very sweet. And I'm sure a lot of Canadians were like, oh, we are feeling very proud of themselves. But I also just was like, huh, like, am I like this? Like, not just as a Canadian, keep calm and be passionate. I thought that's such a beautiful thing. First of all, that she had a motto and that, you know, she was just like applying this motto to a culture. And I thought about myself and I thought, keep calm and be passionate. What would that look like? And I thought, well, because my first pushback was like, I will not stay calm. Just wanting to rebel against calmness. But then, of course, it's be passionate. It's like, okay, well, in passionate, there's room. There's room to be who you are. There's room to feel feelings, right? And so I thought, this is actually a lovely motto to apply to my, and borrow if you like, brain and heart. I'd like my mind to be calm so that my heart can be passionate, you know? I don't want the brain all the way off, obviously, but just if our brains could just calm down just a little, wouldn't that be nice? Anyways, I thought that was a great story. It's always cool to see firsts. It's always cool to see some ground being broken, dreams coming true. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I would absolutely go to one of those games. So it's just fun. I started thinking, yeah, I would totally go to watch her. She's a pitcher, I believe. Is she a pitcher? I think so. And I was like, oh my God, I would totally want to go just to watch this. That would be so cool. And then I was like, and what else? What else would happen on the way to the game? What else might I discover at the game? Like, this is one of those sliding doors kind of things where, you know, there's so many things in our lives that we just never think about doing. And sometimes that's that little turn that just, you know, maybe Billy's got it right, you know, he's just going all over town and discovering all kinds of cool stuff, right? Who knows who you meet? Who knows what idea you get? Who knows what you might fall in love with, right? I might fall in love with baseball. I doubt it, but I might. I don't know. It's always good to see. And I don't know, just stay curious, right? Keep that self-marriage, you know, alive and well, right? You got to do some new things time to time. At least I do. All right, dear listener. Well, wherever you are right now, I just wish you so much love. If you are listening, I'm not sure when this is coming out. So if you're somewhere celebrating holidays, if you're like surrounded by family, if you're on a walk escaping your family, if you're driving somewhere running errands, if this is a hard time, I see you. I am with you. If this is a joyful time, I also see you. And I'm also with you in some ways to cherish all of these moments, this life of yours. Just be a little more all in. What would that look like for you? What would that look like if that was your phrase for 2025? If you haven't picked one yet and you're someone who likes to, what if you picked all in? Whew, what would that look like? Anyways, I always love to hear from you. If you're not on I'm going to be announcing the new program very soon. The absolute best way is to be on the mailing list. If you're not on my mailing list for letters from Danette, radicalcreativesanctuary.com. There'll be a link in show notes here, but you can on the bottom of the homepage or on the contact page, you can just sign up for letters from me, and you'll be one of the first to hear about my new offer that I'm really excited about. Take good care of yourselves. I hope that you are well. You are someone worth loving. Hope you know that. It all starts with you. Take good care of yourself, and we will talk again soon.